through the national parks, we've been to many sort of things, like, you know, the Thredbo landslip disaster. We were heavily involved there, and fires all around the state. Mm. And people always ask you, you know, what was it like, and what can you say? You know, you can tell small stories and give snapshots, but it it doesn't convey that sense of I mean, the exhaustion that you feel, the sense of comradeship with all of the, because you're all, it's, well, I guess I likened it to, it's like going to battle in that sense of going to war without that sort of, you know, I guess the fire is your enemy. But it is a really uniquely shared experience that only people who have been there can truly understand. I mean, I can tell stories and give little snapshots, and but it's the same as anyone else giving their own snapshot of their own extreme experience of someone hanging on the top of Mount Everest or something. You know, you can imagine. But being there and, you know, the constant, how you live with fear, how you live with apprehension, how you live with exhaustion, how you, you know, you live with absolute trust of everybody around you. The chopper pilots are absolutely amazing for us as remote area firefighters. They're our lifeline, because we get dropped in by chopper and we get taken out by chopper. And if the chopper can't get us, we're stuck there. Once we're in the bush rounding up the fires, then we rely totally on helicopters, water bombers, and we're in radio contact with each chopper, and we can actually direct them to drop, you know, as much as 900 to 1,000 litres of water onto a square metre of ground. Or your working relationship with a good pilot is just fantastic. You know, you can achieve great things. And as I say, there's a line in that song, you know, bless those helicopters, our eyes up in the sky, you know, because they got us in there, which is not always the most pleasant of tasks, because as you're flying over a scene, you know, you're in the chopper, you've got all your gear, and there's maybe, you know, it depends on the chopper, there may be four or five of you, and the first view of a fire in a remote circumstance is can be very daunting. You're looking at the terrain that's always steep, it's always rugged, you're looking at the height of the trees, because often you've got to winch down through the trees. Like up in the Dewa, we had to winch like 150 feet down through trees. It was amazing stuff. My father had similar stories when he was a young fella. I was brought up in the Yarra Valley in Victoria, and Dad always worked in the bush up there in the mountains as a timber cutter, and he talks about some of the big fires that went through there in the 40s and 50s that you know, he talks about the draft horses. They used to cart logs, and, you know, the fire coming so quickly that all they could do was, the men could just dive into the dugouts, because they all had dugouts up there, coming back and seeing nothing but a white outline of ashes and hobbles where the horse... just intensities of fire. And you only get to understand the intensity of heat. It came to me one time when I was just standing in front of quite a long fire, but with a flame height of only 4 or 5 inches, and to feel the radiant heat. Radiant heat is such an incredibly powerful force, and people just don't understand it. It's just the experience of being in amongst many, many fires and many different conditions. They're very unpredictable. We do have a certain understanding of fire behaviour. It is a science, and we're very well trained in understanding that fire behaviour. But one of the most important things to understand about fire behaviour is that it can be very unpredictable and swift, absolutely swift.